MoneyWeb now on the money.
This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. I'm chatting with John Reed. He's Chief Market Strategist for the World Gold Council. John, appreciate the time from you today. We've got the Q1 2024 report out. I got to say, another strong quarter for demand. We'll delve into some of the details, but as I say, a good period for gold.
No, very much so. And there are highlights and lowlights, of course. But overall, I think the fact that demand is strong despite record high prices and pretty much every currency tells you a lot about the underlying health of the gold market.
That's a great point. And I want to come to some of the details. But I mean, for example, jewelry was strong. And my thought was, you know, with gold, I mean, during the period, not quite at the records we saw in April, because this would have been to end of March. But that demand remains there, even in something like jewelry, which I thought might be a little bit more resistant to higher prices.
Yeah, indeed. Although what we did see towards the end of the quarter, at least anecdotally, is that the rapid rise in the gold price that started around the beginning of March has deterred some purchases, and we'll probably see that weakness continue into the second quarter. But overall, as you say, strong demand from jewelry, which is supposed to be the price elastic component of the gold market. And certainly, if you think of year-on-year comparisons for the price, yeah, gold's been much higher.
And if you look at central bankers, and one trend every quarter I chat to someone from the Gold Council, and there are the central bankers buying. And at a point we could have cautioned, central bankers are back buying gold.
No, very much so. I mean, look, they've bought gold every year since the global financial crisis, but they've really stepped up their purchases since the middle of 2022, more than doubling them from around 500 tons a year to in excess of 1,000 tons a year, both in 22 and 23. And the number that we saw for the first quarter of 290 tons represents a record for the first quarter of any year.
I'm old enough to remember when central bankers, most notably the UK, were auctioning off their gold about $2,100 ago. A lot of the central bank buying is actually coming from emerging markets as well.
Very much so. Western legacy holders of gold, those that ended up with a lot of gold at the end of Woods agreements, are holding on to their gold now. So the buying is coming through from emerging market central banks. I mean, they've amassed trillions of dollars of foreign exchange reserves over the last few decades, but have been left underweight gold as a consequence. And I think the fact that gold has performed well during the various crises we've seen over the last 15 years is an important factor in them adding gold to their reserves.
That's a great point. I mean, it's almost like, in a sense, gold has to come back. I mean, there was a time, if we go back to the 70s, 80s, even 90s, gold was an important part of foreign exchange reserves. It kind of went out of favor. But to your point, it's doing what it does in this decade. It's responded to the crises that we've seen and recreated its relevance for those central bankers. Relevance, wrong word. Recreated its importance in them holding it.
I think that's absolutely right. I'd say as well, the decade or so of zero interest rates that we saw from developed markets also played a role. You know, the opportunity cost of holding gold was much lower when interest rates were very low. So in a way, it's a big surprise that central banks have stepped up their buying at exactly the time that interest rates have gone up for the first time in, you know, sort of 12, 14 years.
Yeah. How was mine supply? We've seen some mines come on late towards last year. We've got more mine production coming on during the course of 2024. Mine supply is certainly rising as well.
It is. Although if you look at the longer term, the previous all-time high in mine production was back in 2018. So really, it's been 6 years and the industry globally hasn't yet been able to surpass that all-time high. Up 4% in the first quarter, there looks to be a pretty good chance that we will see a record high production this year and perhaps some growth coming through next year as well. But based on the forecast that we get from our data partners, Metals Focus, it is a struggle for the mining industry to keep increasing production. They slowed down their capital expenditure and project development in the mid-20 teens when the gold price fell. And we've seen the consequence of that. It's like there are some new mines around, but not as many as you'd expect with gold at all-time highs.
And of course, I mean, Goldfields opened a new mine recently. I think they said it was 15 years or 13 years from discovery to production, and that partly plays into the price. The one area still seeing outflows, and this has been happening repeatedly, has been ETFs. And with gold at records, I imagine that's just some people taking profits.
I think so. And I think this is one area where high interest rates certainly represent a headwind for gold investment in the ETFs, particularly out of the United States, where the equity market has been performing so well. And in Europe, it's not so much an equity comparison. It's more the fact that there's a lot of holders of gold who can now decent rates of interest in the bank or in short-term fixed income products. I think particularly in Germany, which was the biggest bar and coin market as well within Europe, we've seen a big slowdown in bar and coin demand there as well as ETF outflows. I think the competition from higher interest rates is really playing a part there.
I take your point to that. And the last point is China. Good demand coming out of China, which for a planet which is perhaps a little bit worried about the Chinese economy or the Chinese consumer, this certainly bodes well. There was good and increased demand in China.
There was, and I think that might be partly due to the fact that other assets that you could consider investing in China have actually been doing pretty poorly. I mean, obviously, real estate prices have been declining now. I think it's 10 months in a row. Plus, we've had a weak equity market and concerns domestically that the currency might weaken further. So for a country that saves an enormous proportion of its wealth, there aren't perhaps as many alternatives to deploy that savings as there has been in the past. And I think gold is benefiting there, both in jewelry form, but also in the investment product side.
We'll leave it there. That's John Reid, Chief Marketing Strategist, World Gold Council. Appreciate the time today.
The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.